the Tropospheric Aerosol Program through the Department of Energy. It's a huge chemtrail program. But like I said, you've got the NASA chemtrail program, Charged Aerosol Release Experiment.
Welcome to Grimerick Outlawed. We take things just a little bit deeper and a little bit longer sometimes too. Definitely a little bit deeper. We're going to be chatting with Matt Landman a little bit later and about his documentary Franken Skies and 5G and all sorts of fun stuff like that. Of course, it's hard to ignore the COVID these days. It's sort of everywhere. And we got everybody's favorite interviewer, Graham Dunlop. How's it going, buddy?
Good, good. Yeah, Matt Landman's also got Sparrow protective clothing now. All kinds of different clothing protecting you from EMF and Wi-Fi and all that shit. Made from silver. Very comfortable. And he's also creator of actualactivist.com, kind of a landing page for a bunch of activism stuff. And then we should talk about the extended episode.
Yeah, this will be the first one. This is the first of the new feed, Grimerick Outlaw. We did, of course, the John Carpe, and we did the intro episode. This will be the first one where we start getting into the premium content, where you hear the first hour. Of course, everyone will hear the first hour. And then we do another hour with Matt where we keep going, get a little deeper into some stuff, into the chemtrails and stuff like that. And we're going to keep that going. Of course, we got some great guests coming up. We're going to chat with Charlie Robinson next week. And we got Benjamin Grundy from Mysterious Universe coming up to go deep on the China taking over Australia and stuff like that. And yeah, that's sort of going to be the thread here where we sort of get down to the brass tacks on some of the deeper stuff that we were sort of touching on Grimerica, and especially lately we were doing more and more of it, but we want to find a home where we can do that sort of thing full time. And, you know, it's time to go after it.
So and still keep the regular Grimerica feed going as well.
Yeah. That'll just go. Nothing will change. This is, should be treated as just its own show over here. GrimericaOutlaw.ca is the website. Of course, if you do want to get signed up for those plus episodes, head over to GrimericaOutlaw.ca and there's some sign up buttons there where you can get signed up as a plus member at $6.39 a month. And that's it. Then you'll get a premium RSS feed. It'll take you to page. It'll give you all the instructions on how to get that premium feed working. So you just always get all the full episodes. And yeah, it's password protected. You use the same password to sign in on your RSS feed as you use to sign in on the website, which you'll generate as soon as you sign up. And yeah, that's how these outlawed episodes are going to go. We got some fantastic guys lined up. We're not going to do the long intros. We're going to make these shows 100% about the content. Of course, if you haven't, check out our other podcast, The Grimerica Show, over at grimerica.ca. And it's a good show over there too. We enjoy it. We don't do the premium content thing over there.
It's all value for value.
It's all value for value, yeah. So what, anything else?
That's about it.
Enjoy the chat with Matt Landman.
All right, we've got Matt Landman back in the studio with us on Zoom from Oregon. He's the creator of Franken Skies and Franken Skies 2, which is coming out, and Spiro Protective Clothing. We're going to talk about that, and actualactivist.com. So lots has happened since we last chatted. Thanks for coming back on, buddy.
A pleasure to be on. I'm especially thankful that you guys have been at it for so long and that the truth is still coming out of Canada. So thankful to be on the show.
No problem. Hey, we're trying, man. No, to be honest with you, it gets worrisome because of all the disinformation out there and all the memes and all the, you know, you see stuff. That's why I try to go to the real source, the CDC, the WHO, whatever, because they say enough of this stuff to put their foot in their mouth themselves. I really try and stick to the sources, but it's difficult because there's so much disinformation, you know, like we were talking a little bit before we started recording about some activism that you did and being in the middle of the sort of the fire season in Oregon last year. And I mean, I saw so many memes about that, but I haven't really talked to anybody, you know, on the ground on that. So it's a tricky time because we just saw millions of people get hoodwinked by conspiracies over the last little while. And I mean, it's this global push, which I think is like a big play with Big Pharma. They are showing their hand big time. I mean, you know, I don't want to get into the political stuff really, but I mean, already the WHO is starting to back off on the PCR stuff. I mean, it's just, and yet they're still locking things down, even though cases are going lower here. So, I mean, we're just going through the craziest time right now.
Isn't that the truth? The thing about disinformation is that some of us have been on that truth warpath for some time now. I mean, a lot of us, it's been since 9/11, you know, so we've kind of gotten our stripes. We're like black belts in it, and we can gauge a lot of this through discernment. Like our gut instincts, we've refined this discernment, and we can literally kind of smell out the BS and see what the disinformation is. But if you've been kind of on the fence or even denying the truth, some of the people out there are accepting a lot of this, these treasonous falsehood, blatant lies as truth, because they don't have that discernment that we've cultivated. So they just eat that disinformation up, and it's really sad. But at least some of us can see through the lies. And I, you know, always have that quote, real eyes, real lies, real lies. But yeah, I'm happy to talk about the fires last year. A lot of stuff has been going on. It's been a crazy, crazy year. And I think we're even on some like completely new weird timeline or something like that, because time seems to be standing still, and it seems like the powers that be are like literally trying to hijack our entire reality. Sometimes I try to wrap my head around the whole world is doing this. You know, the whole world is doing this whole grocery store nonsense that I have to deal with in my community, the entire planet. You know, it doesn't, that just, that still blows my mind. I don't even know. I'm sorry to say.
No, me too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something to think about. It's something, it's everyone's wearing a mask all around. I mean, I don't think, except, like, I think when you get down into Mexico and South America, and,
well, even Florida's pretty, a little bit freer. I mean, that's the weird thing, is if the world would just look at those spots that aren't playing along, because it is most of the world, but there's spots that aren't playing along and they're not falling dead. I mean, everything's fine in those areas. They're better off.
If there's California, one thing that's become apparent, it's that like retiring in the third world as soon as possible is not a bad idea. And then you can have like a haven for your family to escape to when the shit really starts popping off. Because, you know, most people are going to be like, ah, crazy conspiracy. Darren and Graham moved down to, I don't know, you know, name it, fucking Panama or some place where, you know, you're not worried about, I don't know, Panama might be a bad example, but you're not quite so worried about the authoritarian creep that's happening in the entire Western world. And it seems to be that, you know, that seems to be the third world, or, you know, the second world at least.
Well, you talk about the logic and people should see that nothing's happening in Florida or other places where there's more leniency, you know, but the propaganda machine really just keeps it going. I've done a little research, and holy geez, you guys. So first of all, you guys know that these blue masks, these surgical masks, they have this polytetrafluoral ethylene, PTFE. These masks are one-time use surgical masks from China, and they're lined with this chemical called PTFE. You can just type in PTFE masks and then do Google images, and it'll show you the blue ones and a few other types as well. Like these ones you're handed at the door of the grocery store. And these people that are handing at the door, they're standing under a sign that says in trance. I like the word magic there, in trance. And then they hand you this, this mask that's laced with PTFE, which is polytetrafluoral ethylene, which is actually Teflon, which is fluoride. So it's a fluoride off-gassing mask from China that they're handing you. And I see it as one big cremation of care. The, you know, the Bohemian Grove, these yep. satanic occult, these idiots meet once a year, the elite occult of the world, and they wear cloaks in this grove in Northern California, and they worship this like symbology. It's a symbol of Satan, or Moloch, they call it, this 40-foot stone owl. They've been going there since 1915 or something, early 1900s. They've been going, and this, it's future and present and past Federal Reserve members and world leaders and all these elite scumbags. And they make a fire effigy, and they actually burn they say it's a dead baby or whatever, but they have a literal sacrifice where they say it's cremating their care. It's the cremation of care ceremony, because they want this ritual so that they don't have any care for the world, so that they can go and do their evil bidding without having like these conscience repercussions or this like karmic repercussions or guilt. You know, it's like basically cremating any sort of guilt for their future horrible actions. I think that this whole wearing a mask and getting everybody to concede to this and fluoriding everybody out and like shaming your neighbor and now this vaccine push and all this stuff or whatever, I think it's all one big cremation of care, because what they want to do is make your neighbor and everyone in your community be against you, basically, you know, kind of like they did in Germany or whatever, because they don't have the numbers to go up against everybody. But if they can mind F everybody and get everybody on the same page of screw your neighbor, we're so scared and they need to wear the mask, or they, you know, and then also you take away their faces,
your humanity.
And exactly. You take away their faces and then you can't see their humanity. You can't see their faces anymore. And there's like studies after a couple of weeks that people literally lose their
empathy.
Their care.
Yeah.
Empathy. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, this is a mass ritual. It's an initiation mass ritual, because that's what they do in these secret societies too. They start you off with a mask. They dehumanize you. And I feel like this is where they're going. And the revelation of the method. I mean, they're still telling us stuff out in the open, and it doesn't even matter. People don't care. They just go, and then they just go ahead with it. You know, whether it's how they're counting, doing the death count of COVID, you know, with and from COVID, they tell you that within 28 days, we're still counting it as COVID, even though it wasn't from COVID. I mean, we know people here that's happened to personally, where they've had the hospitals try and get away with putting COVID down. But they tell you this. The WHO comes out and tells you this stuff, but people don't even care. They don't even care.
All right. I've got
an interesting twist on it, you guys. Graham and Darren and Brady in the corner. And I know you guys, I bet you've talked about this COVID nonsense 100,000 times by now, because I'm sure it's the topic everyone wants to know. And even your friends in real life are probably hitting you up. What do you conspiracy guys think about this? Cause that's what my friends are doing, right? They're hitting me. What do you guys think about this? And I'm just like, oh God, now I've got to tell them what I think so they can say, oh, that there's no way that could be true, bro. So check this out. You guys, I make these, so I have this EMF company. Protective clothing. It's called Spero, S-P-E-R-O. It's a Latin word that translates to hope. Check us out, Spero Gear on Instagram and SparoGear.com. So I make these phone bags, and you put your phone in the bag and it's lined with silver, and you close up the bag and it kills the phone signal. And so I've been selling the bags for a while, and it's this silver lining, one layer of this silver fabric, and they kill your phone. Like, you don't get any messages or any signal inside. It's like Faraday bag. Well, guess what? And I started just putting this together recently. Right around when COVID came out, people started hitting me up, only in the United States, which is interesting because nowhere else are the radiation levels so high that they're penetrating the bags. But people started hitting me up and being like, what is this nonsense? You're selling me a bag that doesn't work. Like, my phone works inside the bag. And I was like, oh, wait, what? It must be faulty. And they send it back to me. It works where I was living. You know, and I'm like, this is really weird. And I started to do some investigation. I actually started making a double layered bag. So I make a double layered bag, and they started working. The people that it didn't work at first with a single layered bag, the double layered bags work. So something happened. And then I come to find out there's infrastructure deployments for this, like 5G. 5G is so complex. It's not just one thing. There's high band, low band, mid band. And basically, you've got this whole frequency that different cell phones go on, right? Different carriers. You know, Rogers, Verizon, whatever it is, and they have a frequency, a bandwidth, all right? Well, they want to make that bandwidth like a higher bandwidth so that they can crank more stuff on it, like 5G. So they got to slowly change it for different carriers, different phones, and all this. And so my friend, the reason why it clicked, because there was this big, which I thought was disinformation propaganda, this big push that the conspiracy world thought that 5G was the cause of COVID. And I at first was like, oh, that's BS. They're just trying to make us look crazy. And I still think that, because it's not this like 5G got turned on everywhere and people started dropping dead and that was COVID. It wasn't like that. What I think happened was, because I talked to my buddy and he said, yeah, man, and he's not even a conspiracy guy. I grew up in outside of DC on the East Coast of the US, right? I grew up in Virginia, right outside of Washington, DC. A lot of my friends and peers, they ended up working for like the government some way, somehow, different government contracts or Northrop Grumman, the Pentagon, whatever. And my one buddy, he's a total square, and he wanted to tell me that he personally had gotten COVID. and he told me his personal story. And he said it was so weird, though, because I didn't have a fever and I didn't have any of these typical symptoms. But me and my wife did lose our ability to taste for a couple of weeks. And we had this weird brain fog. I couldn't think. I couldn't go into work. I couldn't think very well. And after I really started thinking about it, I said, well, do you have an iPhone like these other people? Because these other people are saying that their iPhones are penetrating the bags, because it's like certain networks are cranking it up to a point where it's penetrating my bags. It's like a physical thing. It's actually happening. I'm experiencing this real world. And he says, yeah, we just got the iPhones. We were always Android people. We both got new iPhones. And that's when it happened. And I go, bro, you didn't have a fever, but you have symptoms of radiation poisoning, I think, come to think of it, you know? And I'm starting to put these little pieces together. I think that it's really diabolical, and they're all crazy evil and stuff like that. And it's kind of hard to grasp what's really going on. And I don't want to make this show about COVID, because I know it's annoying to be talking about this stuff all the time. But I do think that a lot of the quote-unquote COVID cases, especially this whole, oh, I can't taste thing, that's a symptom of radiation poisoning. And they are cranking up these things and putting up cell towers everywhere. But it's not 5G is here, I got sick. It's your phone. The actual phone is on a new frequency, a new bandwidth, and you're getting radiated so bad by your phone. And that's why households are getting it, because they're on the same phone plans and stuff like that. So I just want to say, like, that's just food for thought. I'm on that theory and whatnot, and it's very fascinating and interesting. But I am, like, on the lines, because I'm, like, literally right there on the front line because of my phone bags. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So don't get an iPhone 12 then.
No, that's what our friend Salvatore was saying. He heard you talking about that, and it wasn't just that they switched to the iPhone. It's the new iPhone that's penetrating your bag, right?
Right.
So the old iPhones are okay in the bag. The new ones are worse.
That's what I'm experiencing. But some people, for instance, in LA, in Los Angeles, which is now like rolling out 5G high band for Verizon, even older iPhones were penetrating the single layer bags, but not the double layer bags. And it just started happening. And then all these COVID cases are coming out too. It's like literally they weren't penetrating the bags. Then COVID came out and they were. There's got to be a correlation, I would think.
So when you look at the 5G map, because I've never really understood this, because our phones and some networks up here, like if you look at the 5G map in Canada, Calgary and Edmonton and a couple of the other big cities have a couple 5G, what do you even call it, networks. And then our phone says 5G, but I don't think it's the real 5G.
Your phone
5G,
says 5G?
Is it?
I haven't seen my phone's never said 5G once.
Maybe I'm wrong then. Well, maybe I wasn't here.
So 5G is a really broad term, and there's a lot of confusion and disinformation and propaganda and all this sort of stuff. And there's a 5G high band that like Verizon owns and stuff. And okay, so there's different variations of it. Some of them are ranging from like 2 millimeters to 10 millimeters in size. Okay, so let's talk about, okay, really quick.
Well, that kind of makes sense, because that would make sense why they have the PCR test kind of hanging out there as just blatant low-hanging fruit. You know, it's just like they've sort of blown it so out of proportion. And if they kind of knew they were going to have some radiation troubles with this thing, I mean, it's like, you know, lock the world down. Seems so out of proportion, but I mean, that... it's got all of us sort of distracted by the PCR test, jumping up and down about that, or the lockdown, and no one's, I mean, not too many people are even considering that 5G aspect of it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And what's so confusing is every network is on a different wavelength, essentially.
Oh.
Okay. They all own these different spectrums, and some of them are bigger and smaller, and the smaller the spectrum, the more it can interact with our cells and stuff. So some carriers say, yeah, we're on 5G, but it's this spectrum that's like, it's not millimeters in size, it's centimeters in size. And when it's centimeters in size, it's not that impactful. It doesn't mess you up as bad. So it depends on the carrier, depends on the infrastructure. And the real bad 5G is when they've got a cell tower every 500 feet. And the one thing to take away from this to understand why 5G is bad, so you don't want to get 5G, is 5G makes your phone, it makes it into a transmitter of everything around you. It's basically this. Okay, so here's the deal. Right now, if I have my phone and I want to send a text message, it sends it over to the cell tower and it gets out there. But if I have a 5G phone and I send a text message, it just goes like 100 feet to the next person's phone. It just is, it's a relay system because the signal's so small, it can't go very far. So if you're sitting there in the city, if you're in a city in Toronto, because I think Toronto is rolling it out, and you've got this new iPhone, right? Your phone is not just emitting the radiation from the video you're watching. It's getting everything it can from 100 feet around it. Everything around it, everything it can possibly grab from every people, everyone's anything around it, probably like more like 500 feet. And then it's pushing the signal along. It's a completely different technology. So that's why it emits like 1,000 times more radiation, because it's pushing that much information through it. Does it make sense?
Yeah. I never thought about it that way though. So it's just shortcutting to, it'll know if I text you from 100 feet away, it doesn't have to go all over the place. It just goes directly to you.
Yeah.
So your phone. So is your phone pulling in connectivity from everybody too? Like you're sharing connectivity with everybody around you then? Why would your phone be pulling in?
That's like Batman Dark Knight shit.
Well, it's because the wave can't go very far. Right. So let's break it down. I'd love for everyone to understand this because I'm just grasping it. So if our eyes were bigger, like say we were giants, because that's an interesting theory. If you look in the Smithsonian and all these hidden whatever, it would be really interesting if we had bigger eyes because we could see everything that's attacking us. And these cell towers and these cell phones, they would look like suns. They would just be emitting this bright light. But because our eyes are the certain curvature, we can only see Roy G. Biv. We can't even see infrared. We can't even see ultraviolet. It's just out of our visual perspective, but it's literally all around us. So just like that, these different size waves. Okay, so let's just break it down. So violet is... this we see violet light because of the nanometer size of the wavelength of the spectrum. It's like a size. You can literally measure it in nanometers, the size of the wave, of the light wave. And just a little smaller than violet is ultraviolet. We can't see it because of its size. And just a little bigger than red light is infrared. And we can't see it because of its size. And just a little much bigger than these, than light waves, but still confusing to our body because we think it's light, is other light that acts just like light, but just light that we can't see. So AM radio waves, for instance, are light waves that are hella big. They're huge. Sorry, I was living in California too long. There's huge light waves, you guys. And AM radio waves, they can go really far. They can go like 10, 100 kilometers. Okay. And the reason why they can go so far is because these light waves are 10 feet tall. Or even 100 feet tall. Sorry, AM radio waves are 100 feet tall. FM radio waves are 10 feet tall. And these things go through us and don't impact us. And they're literally light carrying information.
Instead of being super small, like the millimeter. And you're talking millimeter now.
Yeah. And so Wi-Fi, for instance, it's like 10, 20 centimeters. It modulates and it's still kind of small. And it can impact us because our bodies think it's light and we absorb it and it can mess us up and throw off our circadian clocks and stuff. But we're not going to get like a crazy tumor super fast from being by a Wi-Fi router because it still doesn't mess our body up that much. But the closer that these waves get to the size of light, the more our body gets confused and just absorbs it. So these high band 5G carrier waves that are like 1 millimeter in size or even like 10 millimeters in size, they're so small that they absorb into everything they hit, like a tree or even like a cloud or a human or whatever, or a bug and bees and all this stuff. And that's why they can't go very far. But because they're so small, they can carry a lot of information because you can cram a lot in it, but it can't carry very far, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So that means it's a good idea to have your like Wi-Fi router maybe on a timer or something, so it's going off when your light's out and your body sort of thinks it's... Because let's be honest, most people aren't ditching their Wi-Fi, but...
Well, even if you do, you're probably in the neighbors anyway,
but yeah. I wonder if it's worth having, plugging my router into a timer so it goes off at 11 and doesn't turn back on again until the next morning when I'm up already.
Yeah, I love that. I've actually got wired internet, and that's the next step to getting even further away from the radiation. But for sure, if you can start to get on a clock where the Wi-Fi is not on at night. But the thing is I got an EMF meter. And once I get like a room away from my Wi-Fi, it's not blasting me if I turn my phone or whatever's connecting to it on airplane mode or whatever. You can turn your laptop on the airplane mode You can turn your phone on airplane mode. If it's not connecting to the Wi-Fi router, the Wi-Fi router is hardly blasting you unless you're in the same room as it, you know? So I,
yeah, but now you have these what do you call those little extenders, you know? And so now I have an extender downstairs, another one upstairs, and another one in my studio at home. So that's probably just like being near your router, right?
Right. Yeah. Signal booster or something like that. Yeah. So I would recommend flipping it off at night. It's the best thing you can do because it's a circadian rhythm. You have this biological clock and it's super sensitive. And your clock is based on the sun going up and down. And once you start learning about blue light, blue light filters on your devices. That's so important. Blue light is really similar too, because blue light makes your body confused and makes you think you're in sunlight, just like being next to the Wi-Fi router or the cell phone tower or your phone too. Really important to throw your phone on airplane mode, get it out of your room, like sleeping with it while it's on, it's connecting to all those apps. It throws off your system. And if your system thinks it's in light, even if it's not sunlight, it's confused. It thinks it's sunlight and you can't emit these chemicals that you need, like cortisol levels or dopamine precursors. There's all these sorts of things that your body emits at like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. And if your body is confused and thinks that it's not those hours, then all these sort of bad things can happen.
Is that why I always wake up at like 3 a.m.?
Yes, probably. I don't know. It depends.
It'd be interesting to see what's happening on your phone at that time, you know?
My phone's in airplane mode every night.
Oh, is it?
Every night. I do not miss that ever. Okay.
But my question would be, if you use blue light and if you're looking at your screen, how late in the day you're looking at your screen. I try to get off my screen nowadays. I'm really getting sensitive to it and trying to get on a clock, but I try to get off my screen at least a couple hours after the sun goes down, because the screen is literally flashing 10,000 times per second and it's confusing your body, you know? And so you get on a different clock and you might be waking up because your body's on a different cycle or something or whatever, or the Wi-Fi router. Or there's
your lights, all your lights too. If they're not the real,
LED lights are bad too. LED lights. And if there's an LED street lamp outside your bedroom window, that can do all sorts of damages, because LED lights are light emitting diode lights. And the light is blue light. So those things are just blasting blue light. And the reason why blue light and LED lights, they claim are efficient, which they're not.
They're breaking down way faster than the incandescent ones that we bought.
Yeah, but the reason why they say they're efficient is because they flash on and off 10,000 times per second. Your eyes can't even register it. Our brains aren't even that fast, but they're literally off 10,000 times in a second. I mean, it literally puts us in a trance and throws us our whole system, and our bodies think it's light. It's all confused. And we, like, the only thing our body knows to do when we're around blue light, including all that stuff I talked about, Wi-Fi and all that stuff, is to recalibrate our circadian clock to it's now noon. It's bright light.
I was going to say it. It's not red shift in the sunrise or the sunset. It's midday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So there's an interesting study when you start getting into all of it. The National Institute of Health, the NIH, they did a study on utility workers that were installing cell towers. And they did a little pocket study, and 10% of them in this little short time frame committed suicide because they're studying the depression levels. And these guys were offing themselves because they were just totally depressed because they weren't creating these dopamine and melatonin levels were all off because they're in front of these cell tower panels at all hours of the day. They weren't getting their calculations on their circadian rhythm. It was all thrown off so bad. They're getting super depressed. And that's why you got teen suicide and all this stuff. I mean, a lot of this stuff is really important because these kids are being put back to COVID. Every kid is being thrown in front of a screen now for like 10 times more than they ever had been.
That's a really good point.
I know kindergartners that were taken away from their kindergarten and put in front of a screen full time, you know, distance learning. This isn't fair. Their parents don't know about blue light or radiation or anything like that. These kids are being sterilized. It's bullshit. It's BS.
And that's probably why those workers now, they have those, if you go, you saw them downtown, right?
They're
full-blown, they're in these full-blown suits, hazmat suits, while they're working on this stuff.
Putting them on the roof of some lady's apartment. I could see her down on her deck smoking a cigarette. And there's a guy with a hazmat suit putting a tower like 8 feet above her. I was damn, I'm sorry, lady. They're going to blame those cigarettes too.
Yeah, if you guys like reading The Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Fürstenberg,
I heard about that. When did I hear about that? Yeah.
I don't say that I agree with everything in everything everywhere, because there's always deeper truths and we're always learning more. But for sure, he's got a lot to say about some interesting stuff about the radiation and stuff. And that old lady that you said that you saw smoking the cigarette, she, according to him, she's going to live longer because her cells are going to be like slowed down by the radiation, but she's going to have like a horrible life because she's going to be sick, but she's going to live like forever because it literally like slows down the oxidation of your cells or something by living that close to a cell tower. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like it's basically like, we're slowly but surely being primed to it. Otherwise we'd be getting sick, but it's actually making us, it's making us sick, but it's making us maybe possibly live longer because our cells are like slowing down the way they break down or something. I don't know. I'm not much of a reader, so I had my girlfriend read it. she gave me the Cliff's Notes.
I had that theory early on that it was like the kids weren't susceptible because they're just adapting to it. They're so highly adaptable at that level. It's just like their bones are bendier. Their mindset or their ideology is very flexible, and that I think that permeates through their like base cell structure too. And then yeah, you've got very rare, even people in their 20s and 30s, it's mid symptoms. And I feel like it's the people that are the oldest that have the oldest and most experienced immune systems and most rigid sort of body and cell structures that are just getting this bombarded with this new shit and they just can't handle it.
Yep. Yeah, that's interesting.
Exactly. So, really quick, I mentioned the book and I want to say something. This is just for encouragement and inspiration. When all this lockdown stuff happened, I was still living with some children and, with my girlfriend at the time. And I was experiencing this firsthand. These kids, their bookstores were shut down. Their playgrounds were shut down. Their libraries were shut down. There's no talk of physical education or sports or anything. And it was just ridiculous, the access of information. Like literally these kids couldn't even get books anymore. And I realized that we were going to be limited our information sources, you know, the censorship on the internet and the crackdown and whatnot. And it's literally like a new age book burning. You can't even go to the bookstore. Like literally we tried to go to the bookstore and the library during all this and they were locked. And the kids are like, what are we to do? And so I created that was the impetus of it. And this has nothing to do with the kids, but I created a traveling truth book library. And I said just a second ago that I don't read much. I try to read so many different books. I end up like halfway through them and I ended up passing them on to a friend and have him tell me what it's all about. But what I did is I got about 40 books together that I thought that we'd end up never seeing again, you know, like Animal Farm in 1984 and Fahrenheit 451. And that book included, and all these different truth oriented books, and it's called the Traveling Truth Library because I turned it into chain mail. I just got all these books and media and I just shipped it on, and now it's just traveling on from person to person to person. And you can add to it. You can add to it and you take from it, but it's really amazing. I hope that I can get it to you guys eventually. It's what's really cool in the United States is media mail ships for super cheap. So it's a big box is shipping for like $5, but I've got like Rage Against the Machine and some movies. Oh, I've got all the propaganda movies in there. Demolition Man, Children of Men, Handmaid's Tale. This Handmaid's Tale is really dark. A Total Recall, because Total Recall is a 1990 propaganda piece as far as I'm concerned, because Elon Musk is going to say people are going to Mars and he's just going to use Neuralink to put chips in their head. And it's going to be just like that movie. You know, nobody's really going to go to Mars. But I include, there's, have you seen Snowpiercer? In the beginning of this film, Snowpiercer, they say that global warming got so bad that they had to spray the skies with chemtrails, and they inadvertently go into an ice age, which is what's going to happen to us if we let them do that.
It might happen anyways. It might happen anyways. I mean, we're going into an ice age anyways, a lot of people say.
Yeah, yeah, without dimming the sky. But
the longest stability of Earth's temperature in the last like 250,000 years is the one we're in right now.
That's what I was saying to somebody the other day. I didn't know officially, but I said this is very stable. Yeah, compared to if you look at the long cycles of it.
Yeah, we're at like 11,000 years or something of fairly temperate stable climate, which is the longest in the last 250,000.
Fascinating. So my whole point is, give those physical paper books some love, you guys, and share them with your friends and stuff like that. Because when your friends and family and peers are on the internet stuck at home and they're trying to find that truth, they can't even find it. And they're being misled by disinformation. And if you just handed them a cool book, you know, like the good old days, things could be different. And again, they're covering our masks, so we can't even share that. And they're covering our faces with masks, so we can't even, you know, dialogue with people and share that information. I did a recap on my Facebook because I've got a bunch of followers on there and I try to keep up with them. I did a recap about 2020 and I put a blindfold over my eyes and I held a sign saying, I can't see, and did this like commentary about how when it first started, people were holding these signs saying, I can't breathe with masks on, saying that the mask had nothing to do with the sign, but literally like it was like witchcraft. Like people are like blown away by it, like literal mind control spell. And I wanted to do like a kind of satire on it, and that's the only way to really get it out there. But can you guys believe that I can't breathe while wearing masks? And they didn't see the correlation.
Oh yeah, I can't believe it. I mean, the best meme recently was about the free speech meme where they had three ladies with masks on, like looking at the camera and saying, isn't this the best symbolism for free speech or something like that? Can't remember exactly what it was. I just destroyed it. But so speaking of the 5G and the ability to influence things in a short span of distance, you were mentioning before we were talking about the fires and stuff. Like, do you think that that's part of why you were seeing these towers that weren't burnt, but a bunch of metal in other places was burnt, like some of those pictures that we saw online that, you know, you never really knew if they're true or not. But when the whole fire thing happened, I mean, we saw, you know, towers of light coming down. People are saying there was directed energy weapons, and then people are saying it's the smart meters and the 5G. And I mean, what's your opinion of that being when you were at least there for close to most of it or some of it?
Yeah, I did. I witnessed a lot of it firsthand. And last year was really telling in a lot of realms, especially, but not limited to the geoengineering space. I mean, let's get real, people. We can put out these fires. It's very easy.
We can
make it rain.
That's the other part, you know, of it. So frustrating.
Yeah. We can make it deluge. The technology has been self-evident and public since decades. 1912, you know, it's unreal. And my film, Frankenskies, please check it out. Frankenskies.com. It's a documentary, must-see documentary, that starts off in 1920 and just does the historical chronological timeline. When they first are manipulating the weather, they make it rain and literally control the rain by the use of dry ice. They're pumping dry ice into the atmosphere, which dry ice is frozen carbon dioxide. So the military is dumping carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And then a few years later, they're blaming us for that being in the atmosphere, which is a total joke anyway. Sea levels aren't rising, all that sort of stuff. But yes, okay, so here's what happened. Last year, 2020, California erupted into flames with 11,000 lightning strikes. It was a world record. Never had anywhere had 11,000 lightning strikes in like 48 hours. And all of a sudden, California's just on fire. Then we've got these presidential debates, and they're talking about, oh, it must be climate change, climate change, climate change. What are we to do? So they just start using those keywords on that. And California didn't really get any federal help or anything like that. And it really just burned. And it was really suspicious and weird because there's wind storms being engineered seemingly by use of geoengineering, chemtrails and HAARP and all this stuff on top of these fires. There's wind storms being laid out on top of fires when they could instead make rain on top of fires. Also, patented fire accelerants are these chemtrail and constituents. Barium salts, aluminum oxide, these are patented fire accelerants. They're showing up in these patents for the chemtrails and then the rainwater analysis and everything. And it's like pretty much common knowledge. And even NASA with their chemtrail program, their Charged Aerosol Release Experiment Program, CARE, NASA has a whole fleet of planes and drones, and they spray the sky with aluminum, barium, and strontium to make, quote, noctilucent clouds to use the atmosphere as a laboratory, they call it. NASA has a budget of $52 million a day, and they have a huge chemtrail program. And I think a lot of these drones we see spraying aluminum in the sky are by NASA. And these are literal fire accelerants. So our forests, these truthers across California and across the world have been scratching their heads. why are these planes spraying for decades over our forests? What is going on? People don't even live there. You know, like, are they engineering the weather over these forests all day long? No, they were creating a tinderbox by putting aluminum and barium in these trees and on these trees, patented fire accelerants. That's why eyewitnesses are seeing trees freaking explode from the inside out as fires approach, for one. Okay. So then after these fires erupted in California and Oregon and Washington State, these other West Coast states, they started giving them all their resources, their fire help. Okay. So all the resources and the planes and everything go down to California. And then all of a sudden, Washington and Oregon and also Colorado and whatnot. And I saw a lot of memes saying that these fires never crossed the border and whatnot. Yeah, Canada got a few fires in 2020, but it was very, very obvious that there were so many different arson attacks on the U.S. So the city of Portland had 100 fires lit in a week. Arson, arson attacks. And all of these are like Antifa attacks. So the Antifa is our Democratic Party, which our Democrats are supposed to be like environmentalists and like nice, like non-gun oriented. Like, I don't know how they became radical fire burning arsonists. So all over Oregon and all over Washington, all these fires just started getting lit up by arsons.
And anybody that questioned that was called, you know, conspiracy theorists, wacky. Like you're going to be deplatformed. You can't say that it was arson. I mean, it was, the gaslighting was so bad. You can't even say they were blaming. You can't blame China. You can't blame arson. You can't blame directed energy weapons. It's global warming.
Well, and even the arson stuff, I'm not convinced it's Antifa. I mean, the fact that I think it's Antifa, it makes me think it's not. I'm of the mind that we're witnessing this weird sort of global conflict that 50 or 60 years ago would have been World War II, or maybe, you know, some other high level global conflict. But in 2020, it's not like that. We're, you know, because shit gets too wild too fast if you start shooting missiles off at each other out in the open and stuff like that. I think you're kind of seeing some weird proxy war down in Venezuela right now. You might see some stuff kick off there. But it's almost like, you know, how hard would it be for a China or a Russia to get a bunch of people into the U.S. and start lighting fires or causing problems? Or
yeah, but you've already got the people to do that. You've already paid a bunch of people like Antifa to do that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
You've got them. They're ready made. It's like a turnkey fucking.
I still think it's more like the later stages of the Cold War playing out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, George Soros is the name behind a lot of this stuff. And who is he affiliated with? Like New World Order, Chinese people, probably. It's like, who knows what the global efforts are. But I know that the people are under attack. So the directed energy weapon thing, like the cloaked drones shooting down, that went viral. That went viral all over all of the internet, YouTube and Facebook. And anybody who knows about censorship, that was very questionable to see that go viral. And what I witnessed firsthand was we had a day of engineered winds. I mean, it was a very, very crazy windy day. And these fires got lit up around town in Ashland, Oregon. And then all of a sudden, in a 24-hour time frame, we lost 2,400 homes, just pulverized, just gone. No emergency response system. We have a system in place where we're supposed to be notified. No one was notified. It all happened in the middle of the day, so people were able to evacuate, okay? Whoa. But this fire just came ripping through, and we were evacuated where I live. And luckily, my dwelling wasn't lost, but a lot of people lost their homes. And when I went and investigated, when I went and looked at the fire wreckage, the fire was so incredibly weird and suspicious. For one, where it was supposedly in, it was so, and all the newspapers now say forest fire, forest fire, forest fire. It was a fire in the trees that whipped through the trees, and these trees still had their leaves on them. They went through and cut down a bunch of trees because they said they were like dangerous or something. And the trees are totally fine. I mean, like I looked at
it's
the
too
park
obvious.
It's very
trees in the middle of Ashland.
Right, exactly, in Ashland. And the trees are hardly charred. There wasn't a sustained fire, but everything metal is melted. is completely melted. There's cars in parking lots completely melted. Not one car was missed. And what happened was the fire beelined it from cell tower to cell tower to cell tower. We've got three cell towers in this region, in this little area, in this valley, and the fires went from one to the next to the next. And there's the certain model of smart meters here. It's very interesting because we have a few different types of smart meters here. And some of them are analog, if you were able to opt out. And some of them are non-radiation emitting digital ones. And some of them are these Eclera 210, they're called. And they don't have this backstop from the main line where there could be an electrical surge and it could cause an electrical fire. And these homes are just pulverized from the inside out. So the theory that I'm now playing
from
with,
the inside out, the homes.
Yeah, because the smart meter, it pulses electricity already through the entire electrical system of the house. It emits all the dirty electricity throughout the whole home, and it emits microwaves that go from smart meter along the line down to the cell towers and connect microwaves already. So if there was an electrical surge, perhaps, or maybe an intentional electrical surge, you could direct energy on the ground level and literally like weaponize neighborhoods. I'm not necessarily thinking cloaked drones did it with lasers. I think that you could tune these cell tower panels to direct the energy and even maybe pull the fire along these trees that are now antennas because they're embedded with metal. But the direction of the fires and the damage that it did, and the fact that all these homes with the picket fence left and the pine trees are sitting there, pine needles on them, but 4 feet away, you've got a melted car. It makes no sense.
I'd be interested to see what, you know, I just thought of, I'd be interested to see what like Ben Davidson over at Suspicious Observers would, because I'm wondering, I mean, there's always the chance that these crazy assholes are being nefarious because that's what they like to do. But, you know, I also feel like we're sort of heading into a part of where the globe's going to go through some sort of weird upheavals and stuff like that. I wonder what the sun, like when we had that Carrington event or whatever, like back in the 1800s, I wonder how the weird like sunspots and mass ejections and stuff like that will play with the cell towers and the cell networks and all that sort of stuff. If they come in, I wonder if that could be, because they wouldn't tell us about that either. They would just quietly build their fucking arc and, you know, wait for us to get fried by the sun or some shit.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that maybe, and I know you guys are going to hate this one, but what if they flip on the 5G and everyone with the vaccines are the only people that are able to survive because they've got some, like, you know, immunity thing built in?
Or the opposite. I mean, you know, maybe they want the, maybe that's how they depopulate, not to get too dark, but if you've got that in there, then that's what's going to, you know.
Well, they say they want to control your immune system with nanobots. That's a lot of this mRNA technology, where it's advancing. And it gets really weird when you start controlling the immune system, because you have to tell it what to do to everything then after that. And if you're going to be controlling it, you might as well control it remotely with 5G technology. I mean, it all gets integrated. And these 5G towers also work with the chemtrails in the sky and the chemtrails in our body to superheat the atmosphere and all these other things. It all gets really weird when they're talking about tracking and tracing and COVID tracing and figuring out where you've been, all this stuff. You know, these COVID tracking apps work when your phones are off, even. They're still able to follow you around.
No, I didn't know that. That's brutal. So, I mean, there's a lot of theories about the fires too. I mean, I'm glad that you saw the metal, because I mean, there's tons of pictures on the internet, but you wonder like what that's from. And I'm sure that the metal doesn't melt like that without close by wood burning in a normal fire, you would think. I mean,
pretty hard to melt metal. Yeah, it's going to get pretty hot.
But people are saying, I mean, you hear that again. I think some of this is disinformation. It's that whole line up through California where they want to build a train. That high-speed rail, or in Oregon, in Ashland, that they just want to buy. It's really just getting rid of all this property so that it can be bought out cheaper from the Chinese or whoever's going to come in and swoop up all this property. So do you have any theories about why that? Is it just destabilization? I mean, distraction?
I think there's an attempt to normalize these terror events that are quote unquote forest fires that rip through neighborhoods in the middle of the night and pulverize homes, dustify homes. We've literally got homes that are turning to dust to the tune of a few thousand here and there. It started in Santa Rosa, and then it was Paradise, California. And then these, I'm sure they're going to start popping up anywhere they want them to be. And I think like what happened here is it was all low income, you know, it was all low income. So they dismantle certain regions that they want to control. And these people ended up in a FEMA type camp, not the one that our dystopian movies tell us about, but it was a camp that they ended up in. And right next door, they did start doing vaccine trials and experiments. And I mean, they prey on the weak, you know, it's literally a calculated civil war. And I don't want to predict what's going to happen next, but they definitely did want us to get armed to the teeth going into the last election. Supposedly there's going to be a civil war and Trump was going to say no and stay in office. And everybody, the gun shops were sold out down here. Like what is the overall agenda? It's hard to say. But one thing that I do know is back to that discernment thing and just trusting your gut, that high-speed rail thing, that thing is so viral and it's all over all of it. It's everybody thinks they're so cool because they've got some leaked document about a high-speed rail. Once the internet lets 100 million exactly. people talk about something, you know, it gets to the point that it's probably not even
that's,
true.
That's kind of Darren's point about all that. Yeah.
Is yeah, it, I think
that's Facebook, why you're skeptical of Antifa and all these things because it's allowed to be.
The things that get
be,
to go viral, I think you got to keep a real eye on it. You know, it's sort of like, especially because we can see what the platforms we're dealing with think of free speech and stuff like that. So you can't help but think they've been controlling those sort of trends for a while. And I think even the stuff that like gets to trend on Twitter and then stops and then that creates an uproar in itself. I think even that's all controlled. If they just want to, I can block a fucking hashtag in my Mastodon server. So I have a pretty hard time believing that Twitter hasn't got that, you know, figured out.
Well, they also have that. They also have that program called CrowdTangle, I believe. And it allows them to catch whatever's going viral right away. And that's why you see some stuff go viral right away and they shut it down within a day or two. Then that makes me think that the stuff that doesn't get shut down, they just let it go for one reason or another to use it for disinformation. I mean, and then there's the stories about the guns. Like, you know, they're going to shine through drone. They're going to be able to see in your house and through infrared or X-ray or whatever and see your guns and be able to go get your guns.
How do I Faraday my gun safe?
Mm-hmm. You have a bag.
That's a good idea.
You got to do a gun safe bag. That's your next project.
It's got to be big. And what they're doing overseas is they're making fabric out of copper, out of woven steel, or out of silver. And any of these will work as long as they're big enough. The phones go in the silver bags, and they're small enough right now that they totally kill the signal. And then you can't be COVID tracked or anything like that too, which is amazing. But
how much?
But
are
there is talk. What's that?
How much are the phone bags?
Oh, they're on the website for $35. Really excited about those.
Should I grab us a couple?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
I'm happy to send you guys a couple because you are awesome. So check this out. Back to the viral stuff. It's so obvious. They told everyone we had to go in our homes for COVID, and then they showed the entire. I know that at least the United States. They showed everyone George Floyd being killed by a cop with a boot on his head, and they let that go viral. How in God's green earth do they let someone being murdered go viral, but I can't even talk about chemtrails for 5 minutes? I mean, give me a break.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying.
I agree. Oh, yeah. It's who knows what's real and what's not.
We're living in like fifth generation Truman Show is where I think we're at. Like, it's all just a crazy script. And there's some evidence that it didn't start happening until the last, like, getting real bad till Obama. Because I was looking at something the other day about, it was specifically about Chinese Communist Party officials and access to U.S. biowarfare labs. And I think even Clinton had extended some some extension on something that said, no, if you're a foreign national from this list of countries. It's like
it was okay during Clinton. It changed after Clinton.
No, Clinton had it was dude, Clinton made it not okay. And Obama flipped it. But it was that so you weren't allowed if you were a foreign national from say Iran, China, or you know, this list of countries that America considered non grata. You couldn't enter a bio facility at a certain level for any reason. And in the last like 15 years, it's been made so that
I think it was Obama. It was right.
They were allowed to start coming into high level facilities. And I mean, we just found out in Canada that our government leading party has been secretly letting high level officials come to our military bases, secret military bases for cold weather training. And it's just like, you know, it seems weird. Or we're being lured into something.
And all that was ramping up after Cass Sunstein wrote that paper on conspiracies.
But then I wonder,
the first year of Obama or the first year before Obama, and they're like, how do we handle conspiracies, right? They can get involved, make the conspiracies, or use this info. You know, that whole paper. I bet you Cass is Q.
We should get Cass on the show.
No, I don't want to talk to him.
You don't want to talk to him? He's bad news? You read his essay.
I know.
Was it in jest? Or has your opinion on Cass changed?
It's always been nasty.
Pretty negative? Yeah. All
right. I've heard him on a show before. They're the guys that talk about nudging things. And I don't like that when the powerful people are talking about nudging you the way they want to nudge you.
That's what I was just going to mention. I feel like we're getting nudged into being okay with war with China.
I was just reading a Wall Street Journal article saying that the social media algorithms will make you think how they want you to think. So they nudge you with our technology, however, whichever direction they dictate that. They decide who you are and decide which way they want to push you. And then they watch the results unfold.
This is why you got to get off of all that bullshit and head over to grammarica.ca/social or chat.grammarica.ca, which are both like decentralized and on our server, and they might be a little echo chambery because it's mostly Grimericans in there and stuff like that, but you can cross hop into other instances. So you have this, I'm able to follow people from other instances that aren't part of my chamber, and it's non-controlled, I guess, is probably the best way to look at it. It's not any better, probably, because I think social media is inherently not good for you from an over-socialization standpoint anyway, but at least it's not actively trying to get you riled up. Like, I feel like Twitter and Facebook are not actively trying to make things go viral or actively trying to trick me, you know what I mean? At the worst case, it's just assholes being assholes. And, you know, sometimes that's life and you have to deal with that, but I feel like sometimes Twitter and Facebook are doing the same thing. They're spraying that silver shit on the whole population so that we're a tinderbox ready to fucking explode.
Yeah.
And now, like you said, a well-armed tinderbox.
You guys have your own social kind of media thing? That's awesome.
Yeah, we have the Discord chats that have been around for, we started with the Google chats, but that didn't last. So we went to Discord for a couple years now. And Darren just started the Mastodon instance, and also
the Mastodon is closer to Twitter, where it's on our server and our server's all hosted on our server. But say someone like Greg could have a server for his community and we could cross-pollinate those servers. We could also block each other. So say Greg's server was trolls and they were just being mean to us. You could block those people or you can cohabitate. It's more likely we'll get blocked than we block anyone else. But, and the same with, say, if you had your community had a server, it was mostly, you know, Matt Lamb and stuff, but it could also cross over with Grimerica and Higher Side. And right now we're doing a lot of crossover with our network and the
No Agenda
network. And it's very much like Twitter 15 years ago, sort of from a functionality standpoint.
Now, what about the other chats that are on our server that's not that, but it's
the other chats is Mattermost, which is this sort of open source software that, again, we have to install on our servers, and it's self-hosted, and we can't get kicked off or anything because the Discord servers have been dropping like crazy. And I mean, I guess the downside to it is once we start getting a ton of members, we're paying for all that server space. And as they tweet and post pictures and GIFs and videos and, you know, selfies and all that shit, the 2 meg picture, think of 1,000 people posting a couple megabyte pictures a day, right? So all of a sudden, but we sort of mitigate that with hoping people with that's just one of the things we invest in. And you know, with the social media sort of one, it's like maybe you need a 3 month sort of lifespan on that, and you can start dumping it. But with the chats I think are like
a month or two weeks maybe.
Or a month tops. I mean, no one's going back in Discord 3 months to see what fucking Graham said that morning. I mean, it moves so fast. There's thousands of messages a day flying through there that we'll just delete it every month. Say after 30 days, that all gets.
Yeah. And if people know, then that's not, if they want it as a repository, that's not the place to put stuff as a repository.
You know? Exactly. Yeah. But it's a place where we can have a nice, safe community. And we don't have to worry about getting shut off or censored, or nobody's reading your messages or trying to influence your opinion or anything like that. So yeah, we've sort of started that, and I think I'd like to see a way where the Mattermost instances or chats can sort of start crossing over a little bit too, where you can be involved in a few of those from one place, so you can sort of start cross pollinating these communities. But I think the first step is decentralization. I mean, that's, I think, super important. I think the biggest mistake we made as a group of whatever we are.
Humans?
Well, alternative sort of media people.
Well, it's also humans, too. It's not just us.
Thinking we could start to build these platforms and infrastructures off other people's things and then be surprised when they start to shut them off. You know, it's like trying to start a shipping company, but you just want to throw your stuff on somebody else's truck because it's already driving by, and that works out fine for a couple of years, and then buddy sells his truck and you're like, ah, fuck. And it's like a wake up call where it's like, okay, like this, for instance, all of our premium audio that our plus subscribers pay for is hosted on our own server, and we handle that RSS feed. So it's not going to, we don't have to worry about Libsyn or iTunes or YouTube or Spotify deciding that our customers can't get their content anymore or can't get the podcast anymore or can't. Because to me, it's even more important that once you sort of start building these communities around the show, it would be even more tragic if all of a sudden tomorrow, this community of 1,000 people that have sort of built up relationships and intertwined, all of a sudden that's gone. And there's no way to get that back because there's no,
because they've got your email programs. They've got your,
so that we're trying to insulate against that as much as we can to be where, you know, protect the community and the content as much as we can, because to think that, I mean, you might think you're safe where you are now, but Google just throw like $4 billion at that. I think Google or Spotify are going to make a move and buy a big podcast host soon. And then all of a sudden you're going to start seeing a difference in podcast freedom.
And like we said, we've already seen the mainstream media talk about this being a loophole against free speech, or it's the free speech loophole is podcasting right now, because they haven't really clamped down properly on it. They've shadow banned, and they actually Spotify just deleted a podcast, which their terms and conditions forced them to take the podcast for the hosting company to remove that episode. So Spotify has the power to force the hosting company to remove that episode. But this is also just, this is the social aspect of this, or the digital social aspect of it, but this is forcing a split. Like the market is going to split. It's going to be those who don't want to be vaccinated are going to start their own businesses, their free businesses. And those that don't want to be censored are going to start their own underground, decentralized, you know, digital infrastructure. I mean, this is the separation. It's happening.
And hopefully a bunch of people will cancel their fucking cable and their Spotify and their Apple Music and like just stop paying Amazon, stop paying these companies that are blocking you and censoring you and trying to control what you think and all that bullshit, and dump them in alternative media. And it doesn't have to be us. Dump it into, you know, your favorite creator, whoever that is, find some independent creators who are out there and support them. And I think that's a good start.
I couldn't agree more. People don't really think we're every time they spend their money, they're literally voting for the world that they want to live in. I mean, the internet's only been around for like 20 years. I can't believe it's slippery slope its way into this. Like we're losing it already. I remember just not too long ago, the Department of Justice and all these other entities would step up and yell monopoly and like say, no, you can't merge with so-and-so or anything like that. But the monopoly word never even comes up anymore. They just give these corporations as much power as they want. And then they gobble up everyone and they have unlimited power. And it's so important. That was one of the dreams I had.
And that was a chat with Matt Lano. What'd you think, buddy?
Yeah, that was fantastic. Even more so in the second half, of course.
That first hour flies by. The second hour flies by even faster.
He's way more knowledgeable than I remember from the first time we interviewed him. I don't know if it's just he's like smack dab in the activism since then, but it's fantastic to hear he's been really making headways with the geoengineering conferences and the chemtrail movie.
Is Frankenskies 2 out yet?
No, it's coming out. He's working on it.
I should watch Frankenskies 1 again.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Yeah, Frankenskies 2. I'll have to check that out. And what did we get into in the second hour?
Well, we get into like Bill Gates and recycling chemicals and his sort of, they stopped, through their activism, they stopped David Keith in Arizona. And we talked about Sweden, how, you know, how are we going to be able to stop them from testing all these sun blocking spraying chemicals in the air? They're going to Sweden in June to do that. We talked about that a little bit. Of course, more about the Sparrow clothing, men's underwear and the protective underwear.
Ooh, I'm excited to get that Faraday bag for the phone.
Yep.
I'll just keep that in my truck all the time. Whenever I want to go dark, zip it up in the bag, away we go.
We talked a little bit about aluminum and fluoride sticking together and how that can get through the blood brain. And we talked about Randall Carlson and global warming, bioaccumulation of that. Talked about painting, protective paints.
Oh, lead paint. Yeah, great. All sorts of fun stuff. Of course, if you guys do want to get access to the extra hour of the interviews or the extended content, do head over to grindamericaoutlaw.ca and sign up to be a Plus member today. It's what keeps the gears flowing here, keeps everything kosher, and allows us to keep doing what we want to do. And hopefully you like it. If you do, sign up for Plus to get even more. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next week.
Somehow I built a rocket ship out of the stuff dreams are made and popsicle sticks. Look at my rocket ship schematics. Tell me it can fly to the moon. Tell me I'm not a lunatic. I bet you think I'm the space cadet. Space cadet. No regret, I do not fret, 'cause I am a space cadet. In my hands I have a gas can and matchsticks. Yes, Earth is my home, but I need a vacation from all the sadness, the chaos and traumatic. Let you do the countdown, 3, 2, 1, no hesitation. I bet, I bet, I bet, I